We had a wonderful concert at our church last night. It was a very wonderful success. I want to thank everybody for being a part of it. I hope that you enjoyed it, and thank you for that. We just love this church so much. We love you. We have some testimonies today that are just absolutely amazing. And I want to share them with you because they are that amazing. First of all, Brother Greg is back, and he's 171 pounds. He's lost half of himself. And he looks great. Imagine and we're just grateful for that. Helen, also want to say happy birthday to Deacon Jim. And happy birthday to Anne Marie. Her birthday was on the 1st, and Jim's birthday was yesterday. And I can't tell you why he wasn't here. I'm not allowed to tell you why, but I tell you, he had a good time where he was. Gene and Walter are with us today. Amen. And Dale and Larry. Hi, Dale. We've missed you, so we'll chat later. We're good to see you. I know I'm going to get in trouble. You didn't mention my name. Everybody, give you God praise. Hallelujah. Mrs. C, I didn't mention your name.
That's okay.
But the testimony in my heart that I want to share, because you're all a part of it. Last week, we raised our hands to God and we prayed for Deacon Chuck. I just want you to know that it was beyond anything we could have believed, because God had his hand in it. Marilyn was worried that he was going to go for his procedure on Friday and be in the hospital for 4 days. He went Friday morning for his procedure, and at 1 o'clock they were eating dinner together in their favorite restaurant. 1 o'clock. The procedure went so well, they found out they're going to do, I can't want to get into what it's, but they found that only half of what they thought, and they're just, it's just amazing. It's a miracle. And you all prayed for that. So I want you to be a part of that testimony. Amen. That's why testimonies are the most important part besides the sermon. The testimonies to God. Deacon Chuck, did you want to say? Amen. So the Bible says when one of us suffer, we all suffer together. And when we have a testimony, we all rejoice together, because that blessing for Chuck has fallen on this church. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up and pray together. I hope I didn't miss anything. Lord, thank you for this day, this beautiful day in December. Wow, would you just say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Asking, Lord, that hearts be open really today. Because I have a message today to open hearts. That's the job that we're going to do today. So, Lord, I ask that it be received. I ask that the joy be full, and let's have a really good time in God's house today. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right.
Love it.
some mistake.
Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some
We were at, I think I told you last night, and we were at a nursing home yesterday, and we were singing and walking through the hallways, going into people's rooms, singing all kinds of Christmas songs. And we walked into one room, and everything just changed. There were three people with their grandmother there, and we could tell that grandma was about ready to be with Jesus. And I know that she was about ready to be with Jesus because she said, "I don't want any Christmas songs. Can you sing something spiritual? Can you do Amazing Grace?" Doreen sang Amazing Grace. She sang along, and everybody else is weeping. She sang another song, and she said, "How great thou art," and everybody's singing. And the family, and then she did I Surrender All. So we're going to do that today. So understand that these songs have so much meaning. And for these songs to be sung yesterday, she found peace. The woman was, she looked happy. She looked at peace because she believes Jesus. She believes the words. And yes, I surrender all.
We were meant to be there yesterday.
That's exactly right, baby. I'm glad you're
here. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.
Sick, And then Walter got sick, and on top of all that, their car broke down. So if anybody has a car you want to donate. So, but here they are today, thanks to Art Smith, another brother, who picked them up and brought them to church. We missed you all. So we're going to do our second week of Advent. Marilyn, looks like you have a special guest. Do you need the microphone?
I do.
You can speak, you do.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
The second day of the Advent. And we're going to read from the scripture, Luke 1, 26 to 33. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Jesus. The house of David. The virgin name was Mary, and having come, the angel said in her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. You blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what moment of the manner of the greeting that was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive into your womb a son and bring forth, and shall call him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom then will be no end."
His meekness, he was humble. That doesn't mean he was weak, amen? Because what he did with the Israelites for 40 years took a lot of strength. But they said he was the most humble man. What a beautiful thing. I did not know about Moses. Now, how many know that the people complained all the time? How many know there are complainers in the world? Oh, people complain all the time. And they complained to Moses. They went to Moses and said, we're so tired of eating manna. We want meat. We want something else. So Moses went to God and told them their complaint. And God said, okay, I'll give them quail. And they will eat so much of it, they will be sick to their stomach eating meat. How long did God make the meat simply quail? Was it 1 month, was it 2 months, or was it 3 months? How long did God say, you want to eat meat? You're going to eat it so much that you're going to be sick to your stomach. How many think it was 1 month they had to eat quail, 1 month? How many say 2 months, anybody? How about 3 months, anybody? 3 months. Well, God's not that. I mean, you guys are rich. I'm glad you guys aren't God. You're mean. Yeah. 1 month. He made them eat quail for 1 month.
And they got tired.
You know, this is going to be head game. This is the sermon. They understood the fear of the Lord. Those people walking across, Moses understood the fear of the Lord because he saw it every day. Wow. Now, Miriam had something against Moses, and she complained to Moses. She went to him with this issue that she had. So Moses went to God, and God said he gave her a plague. And how long was Miriam put out of it? She said, yes, we're going to take her out of everything. We're going to set her up by herself. Was it 1 week? Was it 1 month? Or was it 2 months that Miriam was put out of the group? Because she was complaining. Because she was angry at Moses. You see, here's the thing. God had Moses' back. You got to understand, God has your back. If you're willing to stand up like Moses, he can have your back. Amen? But he had Moses. How long did he make Miriam stay outside everybody? How many think it was a week? Anybody a week? How about a month? Anybody a month? How about 6 months? We good 6 months? God, the second that he talked to Moses and Moses went back to Miriam, she got what, Gene? Leprosy. She got leprosy, turned white with all the pimples. And what did Moses do? Now, 10 minutes before, she's complaining to Moses. But what did Moses do when he saw the leprosy? Anybody want to guess what he did? He went to God and prayed for her. He said, Lord, don't do, no, Lord. I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord is something that, oh, I'm going to be so excited about the sermon.
So how long was she?
1 week. She was, see, you guys are mean. First you want to make a meet for 3 months, and now you want to marry a chief. You guys are pretty mean. Wow. Good job. Give yourself. Oh, those, by the way, are in the book of Numbers. You can read them. No, we didn't tell you about the leprosy. I can't tell you everything first. Did you get the right answer? If I said leprosy, would you have picked a week? You probably
yes.
Did.
Yes, I would.
But he prayed for her, folks. Moses understood the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself right now, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't get mad at me, but churches in the world today, they don't fear the Lord. You can see by the way they talk and the way they act, what they're doing. They don't fear him. All of God's been gone for 2,000 years. He ain't going to do anything to me. Lord, Moses knew better. Wow. They don't understand the fear of the Lord. And not only don't they understand it, they don't believe it. They don't accept it. So speaking in one voice, confusion, I know. If we all speak in one voice, if every church, oh Lord, spoke in one voice, there'd be no confusion. There'll be no shade. Remember last week we talked about shade. There'll be no walls hiding anything. There'll be no darkness. Because we must learn to do trusting God. Say that with me. We must learn to trust God. We need it. Completely. How much?
Completely.
There you go. Believers. We are believers. How many are believers? How many call yourself a Christian today? Okay. and who God is. Proverbs 1:7, it's in the bulletin also. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You're supposed to be reverent. I don't want you to run away from the Lord. I want you to run to the Lord, but with reverence. Because why? Because He's God. Say that with me. He is God. Wow. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I pray there's no fools in here. The fear of the Lord. All right, here we go. Forgive us as we forgive. And this isn't about forgiveness, but this whole thing is going to be about you and forgiveness. It's so funny, especially with what's going on in the world. Forgive us as we forgive. Remember we read that before? Forgiveness is a gift from God. Wow. But it has a condition. Right? Forgiveness has a condition. And what is it? What is it? As is, right? As we. The condition for forgiveness is what? As we. Do what? Forgive us as we forgive others. That's a commandment from God. How many think that that's real? Because Jesus said it. Here's the thing. I wrote this. Excuse me. What if God woke up this morning, had a wonderful sleep last night, it was really nice in heaven, the angels were singing, and he had a wonderful breeze blowing through the window, and he woke up today and said, my forgiveness ends today. What if he woke up and said, my forgiveness ends today? That those who have believed are saved. Everybody who has believed to this day are saved. But those who have doubted, refused, or simply denied me, they're on their own. What kind of fear would you have then? I mean, for your children and for your grandchildren, for your family and your friends, you woke up and God said, forgiveness is over. December the 5th, no more forgiveness. So if anybody's believing today, you're all saved, you're good, but no more forgiveness. You look at your family and start crying. The fear of the Lord would consume you. God, what are you doing? Hallelujah. Something tells me there would be great fear. Anybody think that true? Think about that. If God said today, that's it, no more forgiveness for anybody else. But thank God his son sits in his right hand. I don't want to scare you, but I want to tell you the truth. Thank God Jesus came. God sent him. God sent love down to save us all. Let me say that again because it's beautiful. God sent love down to save us all. First John said, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So you don't have to worry about your salvation because you love him. But I want you to understand the fear of the Lord. Moses understood it. You read those things, what Moses went through, and you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You know, how many think about, remember last week, he said, when Jesus come up, he said, who did you say I am? And Jesus asked, do you love me? Have you thought about that this week? Did you think about that? Said Jesus said, do you love me? You walk around every day, he's going to tap you on the back and say, Gene, do you love me? And then he's going to say to Walter, who did you say I am? Hallelujah. And in John it says, he says, Jesus, most assuredly. And I want to just say this for a second. When you read most assuredly, remember when we say therefore, and I look at Walter, and Walter said, that's it? When you read most assuredly, let me tell you, no other person, no priest, no rabbi, nobody has ever said those two words when talking, except if they read it from the Bible. Nobody, only Jesus could say most assuredly because only Jesus could get it done. But when you read that, he's telling you, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And, say that, and greater works than these he will do. Who? You. Who? You. Greater works. You ever thought about that? How do we do greater things than God? I'll tell you why. How? By living by his word. By following his word and writing by acting on his word. You can do greater things Because God isn't here. You got to stand on faith. God's going to do the work. And understand, it's God doing the miracles, and God answered the prayer for Chuck. But we prayed. We prayed in faith. And that's because we don't have them with us. It's sort of like a greater thing. Because it was our faith that led us to pray, and our faith to believe, and God answered. Colossians says this, Paul said, bearing one another and forgiving one another. Doing what?
Forgiving.
If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also we do. Christ has forgiven you, Lily. That's why you have to forgive other people. Amen? He said, I love you. You're forgiven when you have to. It's a commandment from God. Thank you. Matthew, and it's in your bulletin. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How many want mercy? And in case you don't know what mercy means, I got it written down. I looked it up. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is in your power to punish. That's mercy. It's passion, it's compassion shown towards somebody who is within one's power to punish. How many know that it's within God's power to punish us? Can I get an amen? Amen. For anything you said, anything you did, wherever you, he could punish you if he so desired. Because why? Because he's God. But God showed us what? Mercy. By doing what? Forgiving us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to read some more. Matthew, it's in your bulletin. Here we go. 5:18. Listen to these first two words. For assuredly. Amen. When you read that now, you'll read it different. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is all fulfilled. Here we go. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Did you catch that? Let me read it again. It's in your bulletin. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled. In other words, your New Testament and Old Testament are exactly the way it's going to be until everything is done. And it said, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Understand this, church. It's not about your salvation. Amen. This is, and did you catch that? If you teach people the wrong thing, you still have your salvation. It said you will be called least in heaven. But if you teach people to follow God and you teach them, telling them the right way, you're going to be great in heaven. And you look at me teaching you, but let me tell you, it's whoever. Did you see the word? Whoever? How many see that? So who is whoever?
All of
you. So if you teach somebody the ways of God and you teach them correctly, God said you will be great in heaven. He said if you teach them the wrong way, if you do it the wrong way, you'll be least in heaven. So you'll still be there. That's what people miss. This isn't about sin and salvation. This is about doing greater things with God. This is about following God. Jesus was saying that. That's powerful. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. If you had the fear of God in you, you'd say, I don't want to do that. And I'm standing up here preaching to you, and I want to give you the truth. I want to give you the Bible truth because I want you to be great. And God said, if we teach each other the truth and you tell somebody else the truth, God said, you'll be great in heaven. How many want that? I do. I want it for you. I want it for this church. Ooh. I saw two pastors on the other day, and I know that God gave me this message. I do. I don't say that every week, but I know that to both pastors, guess what they were talking about? Things going on in the world today, all the problems going on in the world today, reparations and things that happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago. And they were talking about all this stuff, but they failed to mention one word. They didn't say, and I'm sitting here thinking, please, somebody, pastor, please say the word forgive. Never happened. Oh, you don't know what happened to We need to forgive each other. We need to forgive. Because if we forgive, everybody's set free. How many times have I told you there's probably no money in it? So when I'm preaching today, I am so on fire about this message, I will stand in front of anybody and tell them this message. Praise Him. Because we're going to get pushback. If I tell you that we need to forgive and you tell the people that you talk to, you need to forgive people, they're going to push back. They're going to tell you you're crazy. They're going to deny it. And it's just that it's not even going to be accepted in church. Jim, that's what breaks my heart. You go to church and say, why aren't you talking forgiving? I'd love to hear the answer. And here's the thing. You all said you're Christians. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. Unbelievers will scream. They will. When you start talking about this to these people, they're going to scream in your face because they'll have rage and they'll just deny it. They're going to deny it and deny you and tell you how wrong you are. But I ask you this question. To what gain? Amen? What is their gain by saying no to what you're saying? Can I get to understand how deep this is? Remember, it's the fear of the Lord. We see what happens when people don't fear the law. Let's be honest. Can we be honest? You see it on TV. You see it in the news. People are breaking into stores. They're walking into stores, filling their pockets up with things, breaking windows, stealing. They're stealing people's cars. You can't go to get gas without. We worry about you can't go to the mall. You can't go to New York. Because people are not afraid of the law. Not the Lord, the law. So I ask you another simple question. Who suffers when the people are not afraid of the law? Who suffers, John? You do. Everybody. I don't care where you come from. I don't care where you live. I don't care what your nationality is. Whatever you are, you suffer. Everybody suffers when people are not afraid of the law. And you've seen it. If you don't see it, you're not paying attention. That's why my wife and I haven't been to New York City in 3 years. I can't protect her there. And because people are not afraid of the law. Never mind being afraid of the Lord. But if it's that bad, and you see that it's that bad, that people aren't afraid of the law, imagine how bad it is to not be afraid of the Lord. To not have fear of the Lord. Imagine that. And churches are not teaching about the fear of the Lord. All of us are in danger. All of us. No matter what you see there, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Everybody suffers when people are not afraid of the law. And imagine how the churches suffer. The churches suffer because they don't have fear of the Lord. You're on this pulpit and you're talking about who? God. You're a man. That's all I am as a man. But I'm up here talking about God. I want to be right. Amen. I want to be so right that it changes your life like it changes mine. Because Christianity is a relationship. And that's what it is. With Christ and with believers. Losing the sense of His protection. When you're not having fear of the Lord, Brother Jim, you lose the sense of His protection. The church loses the sense of His protection. They lose the sense of His grace. When you pull away from God, you're pulling away from grace. And you lose that feeling of grace. When you lose the power of His Word, you lose all that. You lose the sense of His presence. When you pull away from God, when you do against God, you don't have the fear of the Lord in your heart, you pull away from the sense of His presence. You don't feel Him there because you don't have any desire to feel Him. You don't see Him because you're not looking. So it's a whole thing of His presence and His protection. When you don't have the fear of the Lord, when you don't trust Him. Hallelujah. Losing the sense of His presence in our lives and in our church. And I've seen it every day. And those two pastors had a chance to say the word forgive. John 8 says, Jesus said, is right, ready? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Where does that leave anybody? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Unless you don't believe in sin and you don't believe in the Bible and you don't believe good or bad. on the cross, dying. His enemies standing there laughing and pointing fingers. The people who hated him. He's on the cross, and what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Holy cow. Thank you, Lord. If we judge others by the darkest moments of their lives, who can be safe? If we can judge somebody for what he did 65 years ago, what can be safe today? If I look at you and judge you by the worst thing you ever said or you ever done, and that's how I judge you, how's that going to work out for any of us? Who can be safe from standing in that position? And understand, that's what's going on. People are looking 150 years back, and they're just pointing and they're judging them by something that they think that they did, or something they don't even know anything about, but they read one word about it, and they know everything, and they're judging them by the darkest moments of their life. Martin Luther King Jr. said that there is evil in the best of us and good in the worst of us. That's pretty true. That's absolutely true. No matter who you are, you have love. The biggest gangster he ever saw, Al Capone, he loved his family. He loved people. He had love in his heart. Everybody can think there's somebody in their life that they, there's some good in there somewhere. And in the best of people, trust me, there's evil there. There's evil thoughts, evil words. But if you were judged by the worst thing you ever did in your life, how do you think that's going to work out? But that's what we're seeing today. Praise the Lord. You might say, Pastor, I know what you're preaching, and I know you believe it, but you're asking the world to forgive each other. You're only one person, Pastor, and we're such a small congregation. He said, yes, the fear of the Lord is real, Pastor, and you say, yes, his word is real, but Pastor, many people are going to come against us. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. You're going to trust God. You're going to trust God. That's what you're going to do. Elijah, the greatest prophet in the Bible, he did all this work and he was tired and he was running, and then he hid in a cave because somebody threatened his life. And God came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing? He said, oh, it's really bad. It's really bad. And I know that I did everything you told me, but all these people are coming against me. And he said this wonderful thing. But I'm alone. I'm all alone, God. It's just me against the world, Lord. And God said to him, Elijah, I have 7,000 people who have not bowed down to Baal right over there, waiting for you to lead them. In that sense, he said to Elijah, and I'm going to say to you today, I know that this forgiveness thing sounds crazy, but I know it's the answer. I know it's the answer because it's from God. I want you to understand that. God is telling you something today. You're not alone. Yeah, we're a small congregation, but you tell one person to tell another person to forgive and tell somebody else we need to forgive, and you hear people talking reparations and say, why don't we just forgive? Why don't we forgive each other? Why don't we forgive each other for something that happened 150 years ago or 300 years ago? Why don't we try that? Hallelujah. And then I read again in Matthew. I went back and read it again. Whoever teaches my people to follow the commandments will be great in heaven. I want to be great in heaven. You say, well, why should you be wanted? Because Jesus said, I can do greater things. Can I get an amen? Jim, he said, you can do greater things. Well, so I can't part the river. No, but you can do greater things because you don't have Jesus in the presence. You have to speak for him. That's a greater thing. It was easy for Jesus to tell everybody. Why? Because he was God. But you say, I'm Christ-like because I'm a Christian. And God is saying, trust me. That's what he told me all week. He said, Larry, trust me. This message. There's a thin line between love and hate. How many know that's true? It's easy to see hate. Some claim to love. Some people claim to love, yet it's so far from their heart. It's easy to see hate. Can I get an amen? Are y'all with me? Have I gone too long? Can I get a little more? You sure? All right. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. Y'all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I pray you did. For 50 years. How many years?
50.
50 years. They call it the Puritan protest. They've gone up to Plymouth Rock. They go up to protest the pilgrims. How long, David, was the pilgrims here? 400 years, Jim, how long? They go to Plymouth Rock on Thanksgiving every year, 50 years, to protest the pilgrims for what they did to the natives. It wasn't good what they did. Was anybody here? Nah, I don't think so. John, you weren't here back then. I mean, nobody was here. I know we read in books, and I get that. There's some stories, and I don't know who wrote them, but they're stories, and I get it. We weren't, you know, they weren't the kindest people. But they go up there every year, a whole group of them, and they stand around Plymouth Rock and protest. Thanksgiving. Wow. So I ask you this simple question. You might never have heard that story, but you have the, isn't it interesting? You might not have heard that story, but I bet you have the answer. You ready? In 50 years, what's changed? You do something for 50 years and nothing changes? You give God your heart and 20 minutes later, something changes. And your friends, your family, everybody, wow, this guy's got a new beginning. Wow. In 10 minutes, something you do with God can change your life. 10 minutes. These people have been doing this for 50 years, and again, what has changed?
Nothing.
Yeah. We can't judge people by the worst times of their life. You can't do that. And I wrote this again because I said there's no money in it. Because I see people on TV making a lot of money, wanting other people to have money for not doing it. I mean, I see it. I'm sorry. It's the truth. But here's the truth about God, brothers and sisters. One word can change the world. One word from God can change the entire world. No war, no battle. Because we believers trust in God. We trust God. And here's the thing you're going to get. Some people will deny it. They'll refuse to accept it. They will fight against it. We should not be surprised. Trust me, if you tell anybody you talk to, why don't we try forgiveness so people will get right in your face? But you don't know what happened to me. Yeah, but my God was on the cross and he forgave those people who killed him. And he said, let he is without sin. Because are you perfect? Because if you're perfect, we'll listen to you, but we know you're not. One word can change the world. And again, some people will deny it, some people refuse to accept it. And they'll fight against it. We should not be surprised. But all Christians should rise up with one voice, remove the shade, and let the sun shine in. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you about three people. I won't tell you about them, but I'll mention them. You know, David, anybody with David in your Bible? How about Peter in your Bible? How about Paul in your Bible? What did they have in common? God forgave them. Wow. David, an adulterer, a murderer, God forgave him. Peter, a denier, God forgave him. Paul killed Christians for a living. God forgave them. And guess what happened when God forgave them? Ready? Guess what happened, Sergio? They became great. Wow. Didn't judge them by what they did. They judged them by what happened after God came into their life, into their heart. Remember, say, Jesus, come into my heart. If you say that, you're not the same. You can't be the same. Or he's not in your heart. I know we talk sometimes as well, if God saved us, does that mean we can keep sinning? How many of you ever hear that? Oh, well, what if somebody says they accept God and they're a Christian, but they keep sinning? Sinning, I'll tell you can't fool God. You might be able to fool you and me, but you can't. So I took God in my heart. I'm a Christian. He'll be up there. So who are you? Who are you? You don't know my son. You didn't. If you took my son into your heart, you wouldn't want to sin anymore. You might still sin. Get this. You might still sin, but you don't want to sin. You want to stop sinning. You want to change your life. Because God forgave you. Hallelujah. You want to feel something? The weak will never be able to forgive. The weak will never be able to forgive. Jim, understand that. The weak won't do it. Because to forgive takes great strength. Sometimes you think you're strong and you're powerful and you're grounded. But that forgiveness thing takes great strength to do it. God said, Gina, we're going to do greater things. Hallelujah. We have it. You haven't already. Believers have the power because God's living inside of you. Forgiveness equals healing, true healing. It lifts up, offers a new day. Understand that. It offers you a new day. If you forgive all that, you have a new day. You don't have that thing hanging on you anymore. You have a new start. You act like God and you have a new day. Hallelujah. Jesus said we can do greater things. I love that. So coming to the end now, because this is a little different closing today. So here's it. I'm going to ask you a question. What am I missing? Forgiveness is truly revealing, isn't it? Think about that. There will be those who will forgive and those who won't forgive. But when that happens, it is so revealing. So revealing. You see somebody who doesn't want to forgive, you start saying, wow, what's wrong with that? What am I missing? What is the argument? What is the argument not to forgive? Not for the world. To forgive something that happened 100 years ago. No, listen, Jesus was on the cross. They killed him. Yet he said, forgive them. Stephen was stoned and he said, Lord, forgive them. God forgave David and Peter and Paul. He didn't judge them by their past because when they gave their heart to God, they became new. So, what is the argument not to? Well, you don't know what happened in my life. Yes, if it was great, if it was really bad, then your forgiveness will be greater. If you forgive someone, well, it didn't happen to me, but it happened to my ancestors 200 years ago. Well, that should be easy then. Or the pilgrims, or 500 years ago with the pilgrims. I'm sorry that it happened, but if they forgave, they could enjoy Thanksgiving. It's just refusing to forgive for any reason. Any church, and I'm preaching to you today, any church who has this Bible on the podium, Brother Jim, and has this Bible and doesn't forgive, what are they reading? And any church that preaches Jesus and doesn't have forgiveness in their preaching, what are they saying? Who are they reading for? Holding this Bible and saying, no. Really? Think about it. He said, whoever teaches man to follow commandments, they will be great in heaven. So how can the body or the church heal, rise up, and find great peace if they fail to hear God's word? If they can't forgive, they're not following what? They're not following me. They're not following God's word. If they don't have forgiveness and they can't preach it in church because they're worried that the people want something or they won't hear it. You want to do great things. You want God to move. You want to trust God. How many want to trust God? Then you got to do it. And the people up there have to preach it, whether the people want to hear it or not. Because healing, it comes from forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you rise them up. They heal. They feel better than you can imagine when you forgive them. And then you feel better because of the joy you gave them. But it's got to be preached. And anybody who has a Bible on a podium and doesn't preach this, I don't know what to tell you. Hallelujah. Because it's truly amazing what God can do. It's truly amazing that Chuck is sitting right here today. We thought he was going to be away for 4 or 5 days. He was home by 1 o'clock eating lunch. God is really amazing. Yes. It's truly amazing what he can do. If we trust him, if we fear the Lord, hallelujah. If we fear God, if the fear of God was alive and well in the church, it's easy to call yourself a Christian. It is. It's just a little harder to act like a Christian. It's frustrating to argue against it. I want you to find people and offer this solution and see. Because you're either going to accept it or not. And then you get a realization. You've taken the shadow about what's in their heart. You talk to any priest you see, you talk to any pastor, you talk to any rabbi you see, and say, why aren't you preaching about forgiveness? That we should forgive one another for the past so we can move on in the future. Because for 50 years, they go up to Plymouth Rock and you all tell me what's changed, what's changed?
Nothing.
It's never going to change. Money's not going to be answered. Money, because people are always wanting money. That's not the answer. Forgiveness is the only answer without war, without battles. It's frustrating to argue against it. You'll find that. If you trust God, see, that's the, if you trust God and preach this to people, and God will have your back. Woo! He will have your back. And so, It's frustrating for somebody to argue against it. Understand what I'm saying? I'm sorry I'm so long, but this is so... it's frustrating to argue with somebody who doesn't against it. See, you, not you. You're fine. You say forgive and watch a person go crazy and you just stand back smiling because he's frustrated or she's frustrated because they don't have an answer. You have an answer. You have an answer. God died on the cross to forgive them, and you have one more answer. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Give him praise, sir.
I forgive you, but I don't know for what.
Forgive me for going so long.
You're forgiven.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. I don't know if it's unanimous or not, but I'm... Trust God.
Amen.
You're trusting Him with the Lord's Supper, amen? Let's trust Him with the Lord's Supper. You got salvation from Jesus. You accept that real easy, don't you? Being Christian is not easy. Hallelujah. Take the bread out. We read in the Bible that He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. Saying, this is my body, I'm going to get whipped and torn and beaten for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for you and take this bread and eat this and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Here we go. Here we go. The Bible says we have to be pure. We have to have a clean heart to receive the sacrament. So we have to ask God this morning for what? Forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for the iniquities of this week, things I said, things I've done, my thoughts, Lord, that anything wasn't with you, Lord, anything that was against what you want me to teach, what you want me to say, how I treated my wife, what I said to my friends, Lord, if there's anything in there, Lord, that I need to be forgiven for, I ask you, Lord, to cleanse my heart and show me, Lord, because I want to receive the sacrament, I want a clean heart, Lord. Because he poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. Let's do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be healed. Who hasn't told a joke they wish they didn't tell? Who hasn't done something they wish they didn't do? Who hasn't said something to somebody they wish they didn't have said? Everybody. Read a book they shouldn't have read. Looked in a book they shouldn't have looked in. Told a lie. Told a white lie. I don't care. Told a half a lie. Okay. Who hasn't done that? Praise God. When I had a woman prophesy over me, we had a psalmist from Tennessee. She came and she prophesied, and she said that I took God in places he didn't want to be, and I said, I know you're right, I did. I took him to nightclubs and I took him to did things in my life that God didn't want to be with, but he went there with me. So God has been with you everywhere that you've been, whatever you said or done, and guess what? He forgives you because he knows you can do greater things if you accept that forgiveness and teach people to forgive, because the joy and just everything in your life changes when you let go and let God, but you've got to trust him. Don't be afraid. Don't. What's the argument against not forgiving? That's for you. That's for you to enjoy. When you tell somebody and they get mad at you, you sit back and smile. What are you upset about? Forgiveness doesn't cost anything. Well, maybe it does. It costs you to be stronger. It costs you to be Christ-like. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's give him praise, Lord. Give him praise, Lord. That book on my podium has the answer for everything in the world. I believe that. That book on the podium has everything that I need. All that I need is in there. If I can learn to live like it, which takes a little work and energy, but that book has the answers. We don't need war. We don't need it. We just need God. We need Jesus. And that's why I'm really, I know I got a little angry at the churches, but I'm seeing that the fear of the Lord is not in those churches, or they would never say and do what they're doing. Trust me. That's what the Bible says. Paul said it's going to happen.
Thank
you. God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside. guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white and fall. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
God bless you. We'll see you soon. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.